Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That would be Joe Lisi. Joe, we are here on a Wednesday on FFC, setting the slate for week number 6 of the NFL season. Week 7, a fantastic Saturday in college football. Even a Wednesday night game, Joe, in CFB. Tons to get to on today's show.
Oh, this is what it's all about, right? We're right in the middle of the weekend now. Obviously, we kick it off with a great Sun Belt game between Marshall and UL Lafayette. And obviously, a little bit later, we have those marquee top 25 battles in college football. And then a great week number 6 of the NFL season. So this is what it's all about. The season is starting to come into form for college players and teams. Yeah. And on the NFL side now, we've had a month now to gauge these teams. Which teams now can make a complete 360 and get back off the mat and maybe challenge for a playoff berth?
A great point, Joe. Past the quarter pole of the NFL season and the midway point of this college football campaign, that makes everything we do that much more crucial on the college football landscape, and we will see that Saturday. 6 ranked top 25 versus top 25 matchups, and 3 games where it features 2 teams at 5-0 or better, 2 undefeated sides that are a perfect 5-0 or better. That is only the second time in the history of college football that on a single Saturday we have had 3 of those individual matchups. But Joe, we start with some news around the National Football League. Following Monday Night Football, we knew what happened with Devontae Adams shoving a credentialed photographer that was there on the field and running out of the tunnel. Devontae Adams immediately apologized for it. However, charges have been filed against Devontae Adams here with a misdemeanor assault by the Kansas City Police Department. So, Joe, that is part of the story now. The NFL continues its own investigation into any discipline Devontae Adams might find from the league, but he has been charged with misdemeanor assault in Kansas City.
Yeah, and we talked about it the other day, right? This is going to put a lot of pressure on the Las Vegas Raiders on top of their 1-4 start. How do they regroup from the off-the-field situations, right? It just seems like the same old story for the Raiders. Last year, the Gruden situation, the Henry Ruggs debacle, and they rebounded in a big way with a playoff game against Cincinnati. Can they do the same? Can Derek Carr overcome all of the negativity off the field and show that he is the leader of this offense? I mean, when he's in gear and they're in sync, they are as lethal as anybody, right? We saw Josh Jacobs run the football in the second half, put them in a position to pull that ball game out. Devontae Adams did have 2 touchdown receptions in that matchup, long, big plays over the top. And when him and Carr are in sync, they're as lethal as any quarterback to wide receiver duo in the National Football League. The problem is going to remain, can they keep their heads on in terms of what's the main goal? And that's getting back to the playoffs. Only time will tell.
And we'll see how that looks for Las Vegas right now. Not favored to get into the postseason after this 1-4 start. They weren't favored to make the playoffs before the year with how difficult the AFC was projected to be. But the AFC overall, Joe, as a conference, hasn't really been as competitive as we thought. And the price right now on Las Vegas to make the postseason +330. Only a couple of teams in the AFC. The Jets, the Steelers, and the Texans, the only teams with longer odds than that of the Raiders right now to miss the postseason. So, Joe, that's how things look right now around the NFL. We'll continue to monitor those updates as we have them available. And obviously, the photographer in this case, Joe, understands the situation that he is in. We wish him, if there is any health concerns, everything he needs for a speedy recovery. But I think it's pretty clear to see what is happening here when a NFL receiver that just made a very large contract and a trade over to Las Vegas has shoved you. You are going to soak up every bit of that attention, Joe. That is what I will say. As we go around the National Football League with things that are happening on the actual gridiron, Mike McCarthy speaking to reporters, the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, ahead of the Cowboys' huge Sunday night showdown against the Philadelphia Eagles, a battle for the top spot potentially in the NFC East. Mike McCarthy has said, Joe, the Cowboys are preparing as if Cooper Rush is going to start that football game. Right now, the Eagles, a 5.5-point home favorite.
Yeah, and I think the recipe for Dallas to win that ball game is what they did against the LA Rams, right? Get them into an ugly type of game, really slow down the high explosive offense and force Jalen Hurts to methodically work down the field, and then hopefully Micah Parsons and that defense can give you turnovers. The way they ran the football last week on the road, they're going to have to do it with Zeke and Tony Pollard. That has been the MO of Dallas. When they have success, that offensive line is in gear, they're in manageable third downs, and Cooper Rush plays well within the system. We'll see if they could do it Sunday night in Lincoln Financial. Still lean to the Cowboys, even though Cooper Rush is at the helm. I would have favored Dak Prescott because if they fall behind, he gives them the best opportunity, but we'll see how it plays out with Cooper Rush at the helm.
And Dak Prescott continuing to recover from that thumb surgery on his right throwing hand. The biggest issue right now is the grip of the actual football. If he is able to spin it in the ways necessary to be the quarterback of this Dallas offense. But Cooper Rush, 5 starts in the last 2 years for Dallas. A perfect 5-0 straight up and against the spread. Plenty more coming your way on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're live on Football Full Circle. Joe, the middle of the week is a big time in the NFL as you get ready for a new Sunday slate. Teams back in practice. They have done the film review from the weekend that was, and they turn the page looking forward to that next game. So for a big Sunday night showdown in Philly, in the city of brotherly love, between two NFC East rivals and the Cowboys and the Eagles, it's a big time to diagnose what is happening with Dallas. And it seems that Cooper Rush is going to make the start at quarterback for the fifth consecutive game. That is what Mike McCarthy is telling reporters as we speak. So, Joe, 5 starts for Cooper Rush in the past 2 seasons, filling in for the injured Dak Prescott. He was a perfect 5-0 straight up and 5-0 against the number, including 4 of those 5 victories outright as an underdog. Right now, Joe, the boys, a 6-point underdog on the road in the Link in Philly. You've already said you believe Dallas can stay within that margin, not because of Cooper Rush necessarily, but because of that defense, especially the front for the Cowboys, applying immense amounts of pressure so far this year, and the second highest sack rate in the National Football League. Joe, I would agree with you on this sense. If Dallas is to keep this game within margin and cover as a 6-point underdog, I think that under of the total that stands at 42.5 has to hit.
Absolutely. I mean, that would be the recipe. I would be shocked if Cooper Rush wants to get into a shootout with Jalen Hurts because of the playmakers that they have at every level. And that's not to take away from Dallas right now. It's just that Dallas is a much more methodical, time-consuming type of offense where they sustain drives and want to keep opposing offenses on the sidelines because Dak Prescott is hurt. On the flip side, Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia, they want to start fast, and they've done that in a number of different games that they have won, right? Jump out to a big lead and then they're on cruise control for the most part and just rely on that defense that has been very opportunistic right now. So at the end of the day, it's a contrast in styles. That's why I would favor Dak in playing in this game only if he was at least 85 to 90% because if Dallas does fall behind, I still have more confidence in Dak in that type of situation than Cooper Rush that I think is still a little bit predictable, and that's not to take away from his resume. Undefeated right now in terms of leading the Cowboys.
And Joe, I think it's a great point. I don't think we need to slander Cooper Rush, and I don't think anybody really is. He has thrown four touchdown passes in these four starts this year. He has not thrown an interception. He has played clean football. But the Cowboys are not winning because of Cooper Rush. They're not losing because of Cooper Rush either, but they're not winning because of him. They're not winning in spite of him. He's playing good clean football, and he's doing what they need. But last week, 10 of 16, 102 yards in the big upset victory on the road in Los Angeles because of that constant pressure that Micah Parsons and Tank Lawrence and up that front of the Dallas Cowboys put on to Matthew Stafford and that banged up LA Rams offensive line. Matthew Stafford already sacked more than 20 times this year, tied for the most in the National Football League with Matt Ryan of the Indianapolis Colts. But the reason, Joe, I think there was some conversation around maybe trying to speed up Dak Prescott in his recovery, and they were focused on this big game week number 6 against the Cowboys, is although Dallas is 4-1, and if they lose this football game, by no means does that knock them out of the divisional race. This is a division game, and if the Eagles improve to a perfect 6-0, Joe, and the Cowboys fall behind in the division, that leads them to look at a wild card path when Dak Prescott is back. Right now, I will say this about the Cowboys. Their win total, Joe, dropped all the way to 6.5 following week number 1 in the injury to Dak Prescott. It is back up there to 10.5, and the over has the juice at minus 145. That is substantial movement, and they're favored now, Lisey, to win 11 games. I'm not so sure it's that good, but I think they can be a 10-win football team and a playoff team, and that is what Cooper Rush has allowed them to do in this time. Because as we look at the NFC East odds, Joe, Philly, a minus 280 favorite, Dallas, the second best price at plus 300, and I think they're trying to keep pace in the division, which is why there was some conversation around getting Dak back for this specific matchup.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, you have a very competitive NFC East, right? The only team that's not living up to expectations is Washington right now at 1-4. Everybody else has over-exceeded expectations until this point. So, you know, they can knock each other out the rest of the way, and that's why Dallas has a very good opportunity to still win the division and be the first team in terms of back-to-back teams since 2004 to hoist the NFC East title. So we'll see how it plays out. I think, you know, when you look at the big picture, and you look at teams, for me, I like teams that run the football and rely on a solid defense. Again, I love Micah Parsons. I love what he's able to do. He comes off the edge. You could utilize him even sometimes in pass coverage. You have to account for Micah Parsons at all times, and he is a game changer. And I think that that's the difference when we look at maybe Dallas's defense right now and even Philadelphia's to that point, is that Philadelphia playing very well, but that offense leads the way, and they just sit back and take care of business, where on the flip side, Dallas dictates the tempo, and then obviously the offense follows. So that's the contrast in terms of both of those teams and why I buy into the Cowboys right now.
The Birds have been favored in every game this year. They have covered in 3 of the 5, not the opener against the Lions and not last week on the road against the Cardinals. However, they did cover in the first half. Philly is the best first half scoring offense in all of the NFL. So as that line works a little bit in favor of the Eagles for Sunday night, it was 5.5. Now it is 6 with Cooper Rush most likely getting the start. Something to keep in mind. More news around the NFL, Joe, in that quarterback area. Tua Tagovailoa is back at practice for the Miami Dolphins. He is starting to throw, but still remains in that concussion protocol and will not play week number 6 as the Dolphins host the Minnesota Vikings. But also in concussion protocol, Joe, is Teddy Bridgewater. It's a very interesting situation, and a lot of scrutiny, rightfully so, has been paid specifically to the Miami Dolphins and the NFL's concussion protocol that has been updated now here early on in this season. And Teddy Bridgewater was knocked out of the game very early on this past Sunday on the road in MetLife against the New York Jets. He passed the concussion evaluation, but it was a no-go symptom. The spotter at the top, the independent spotter, said he saw Teddy stumble after the big hit from Sauce Gardner early on in that football game. There's been some video circulating around social media that followed Teddy Bridgewater on that play. There's no indication that he stumbles. In fact, he looks over to the sideline twice for the Dolphins and gives 2 thumbs up in both regards. And Joe, he remains in concussion protocol, although he passed the concussion tests. He has exhibited no concussion symptoms. He does not have a concussion, but he is in the protocol and unable to practice until earliest Thursday for Miami. So it's Skylar Thompson right now, Joe, in line to start, but it seems like Teddy might be able to go Sunday as well for the Finns against the Vikes.
Yeah, it's the complete overreaction to what happened with Tua. The fans and everybody wanted the NFL and the NFLPA to take precaution, and now they went the other way, where if a guy is a little bit nicked and there's even a hint of, let's say, injury, they're going to take the over precaution and keep him out. Why receive the public backlash? That's where we're at right now. It's unfortunate, but at the end of the day, I think, you know, you're going to have opinions on both sides. It all depends. You know, I think you need somewhere in the middle, somewhere where Tua, obviously we can't see that, where Teddy was, maybe a little bit more, where you give him a little bit, another test after maybe 20 or 30 minutes, and if he looks clear and he's good, then you pass him and you allow him to go. But at the end of the day, there is risk involved when you do play football.
Yeah, no, it is a good point. Teddy made acknowledgement of that following the Tua situation. It will be interesting to see what that line does if Teddy is able to go. Right now, it is Skylar Thompson that would be in line to make his first career NFL start, the undrafted rookie or the seventh-round rookie, one of the two, out of Kansas State. The line right now is 3 points in favor of the Vikings. We'll look at a little bit more around the NFL up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to FFC. As we came out of the commercial break there, you heard from the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin. Joe Lisi, the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road in Tampa Bay. At home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday. It's the second largest spread of the entire Week 6 Sunday slate. Kenny Pickett and the Steelers, an 8.5-point underdog at home inside Acrisure Stadium against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. It's the old veteran versus the young rookie. Joe, can Tampa Bay cover that number of 8.5?
I think they can, but I don't know if they will. I'd be inclined to take Pittsburgh in this bounce back spot. I thought Buffalo would abuse Pittsburgh, but I'm willing to take Pittsburgh and Kenny Pickett. I'm still not sold on the consistency right now at Tampa Bay. They built a big lead. They allowed it to slip to Marcus Mariota, and the running game hasn't been consistent with Leonard Fournette. And right now, I think they're good. I just don't think they're elite. So we'll see how it plays out. I like Tomlin as an underdog, even with the rookie. Over a touchdown, less than 10, I'm inclined to take the 8.5 with the Steelers in this ballgame.
Right now, Joe, the Bucs have been favored in every game this year, but they have only covered in two of the five. They have not covered in three straight games. The only two have come on the road. Last year, Joe Lisi, as a road favorite, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were not very good because the Bucs were favored in every single game, and they have been favored in every single game since the start of 2021. On the road last year, Joe, as a favorite, 3-6 against the spread. The Bucs not covering by more than 4 points per game. So what will we see, the 2022 road favorite version of the Buccaneers or the 2021 road favorite version of Tampa Bay? They did allow Atlanta to come back into that football game. A horrendous roughing the passer call on Grady Jarrett, followed by another horrendous roughing the passer call on Chris Jones in the Monday Night Football game against Las Vegas. It has caused the NFL, Joe, to look at roughing the passer following all of the outcry, and deservedly so, that we have seen over the last couple of days. So, Joe, we were talking about the Dolphins and the Vikings getting ready for Sunday. The line has moved now in Minnesota's favor. It's up to 4. It was at a flat 3 earlier today, I think, with some of the reporting around Tua Tagovailoa being back at practice but not practicing, or not being able to play, rather, for Sunday. The fact that we have Teddy Bridgewater still in concussion protocol, and the earliest he can practice is not until Thursday. So right now, the only available quarterback is the rookie out of Kansas State in Skylar Thompson, who struggled in his debut in the NFL last week in relief duty for Teddy on the road in New York. That has moved the line to 4, Joe, in favor of the Vikings. Now, let me ask you this, just your handicapping philosophy here. If you believe that Teddy Bridgewater will play, because he has not exhibited any concussion symptoms, he is just in concussion protocol and cannot become available until at least Thursday. If you believe Teddy can play, Joe, knowing how good Teddy Two Gloves has been against the spread in his NFL career as a starter, and you expect this line to move, do you jump in now if you want to take the underdog, or do you wait to see for sure what that line looks like come Sunday between the Vikings and the Dolphins to get a better sense of the line?
Yeah, I wait. To me, because you're at the mercy of doctors, you're at the mercy of, even though you might believe Teddy Bridgewater is healthy and is exhibiting no signs, there's no telltale determination from the NFL that they're going to allow Teddy Bridgewater to walk back onto the football field just because of the scrutiny that they might incur from, you know, what happened with Tua and obviously not taking players' health into account. So that there is, I mean, what's the upside? What do you think you're going to get, a point or two? I mean, at the end of the day, and I understand the NFL is a tighter animal in regards to the spreads, right? It's a much different model than in the college game where you could have a, you know, key number of 7, and guess what? The winner or loser blows right through that number by a total of 15 to 20 points. You're not even close, even though you might have gotten the best key number possible. NFL's a little bit different, but still, you know, I mean, taking that risk, hoping Teddy B starts, and then all of a sudden it's Skylar Thompson going up against one of the most consistent offenses right now in terms of the rushing attack and the passing game with Kirk Cousins, I wouldn't be willing to take that risk. I would want to know that Teddy B is starting for sure, and then you could take an alternate line or you could assess based off of what the books and the market feels is the true market value with Teddy Bridgewater at the helm.
Really a good point there, Joe. Very astute handicapping. I think you could even make an argument from the favored side's perspective. We were talking about it for the Dolphins, that if Teddy starts, maybe this line gets back to that key number falling flat on a 3 or maybe even under 3 with the Dolphins being at home and knowing that Teddy Bridgewater versus Tua Tagovailoa, at least from a starting perspective, probably not worth all that many key numbers in the National Football League. There is a thought, though, potentially, Joe, that Minnesota is a 4-point favorite now. The line has already worked in their favor. With the idea that Skylar Thompson is in line to get the start on Sunday. If that is confirmed and Teddy is unable to play, the line could get up to 5, 5.5, 6. So maybe there is value on Minnesota. And if you believe in the Vikings right now, even with that number at 4, knowing the uncertainty on the Dolphins side, you do have a good opportunity to maybe get ahead of the line there. I will look for Justin Jefferson. He'll probably have a 94.5-yard receiving prop, but I don't even really care. The Dolphins have not been a good secondary this year. The Jets put up 40 against them last week. A lot of that was on the ground with a guy like Breece Hall combining for nearly 200 yards from the line of scrimmage, but I might look at the Vikings on that side and Justin Jefferson for what he will be able to do. Joe, on the morning after earlier today with your guy Joe Ranieri, another Joe, we were looking at the Coach of the Year award odds. It's something we discussed here in the preseason. We were looking at some of the long shots, and every coach had a price that was quadruple digits. Everybody was over 10 to 1. Even the favorites, Joe, were plus 1,200, plus 1,400. Well, now that is not the case. Nick Sirianni, a very short favorite, the head coach for the Philadelphia Eagles, plus 150, Joe. And behind him, the only other coach that has a price in the triple digits, it's Brian Daboll of the New York Giants at plus 600. So, Joe, now we're starting to see that change in the Coach of the Year award market. What do you make of where that is right now, and which coaches are you trusting the most in the NFL to start?
Yeah, I mean, I love what Dable's doing. I just don't know how much they could do this or keep this up, right? I know they're over-exceeding expectations right now, but again, this is going to come down to Daniel Jones making plays or having to make plays in terms of the passing game. Even though he was able to do that in the second half for the most part, I don't know if they can match up against the other two teams in the division, right? Dallas and Philadelphia. So here's the thing. I mean, do they get to 7? You know, do they get to 8? If he gets to 8 or 9 wins, I think it's Brian Daboll because their preseason total was right in the area 6.5, 7. But if he, let's say, gets to 6 or 7, and then there's like, let's say, O'Connell wins the division title. What about O'Connell to win Coach of the Year? That's the only concern, is that if Daboll doesn't win the division but goes 9-10, he's got a great shot. If he doesn't get over that key number of 8, in my opinion, Then I think he's up against it, against a potential first-year head coach that maybe wins a division title like Minnesota with O'Connell or some of the other coaches, because how can you take away from that, right? If a first-year head coach comes in first, even though Dable over-exceeded expectations, they're still not a playoff team. Can you give it to that type of coach? I'm not so sure.
Joe, perfect point. Perfect point. It's something we discussed back in the summer months, if you remember, when we were taking the early handicap to this award. The last five winners of NFL Coach of the Year have all made the postseason, including three of those five winners being rookie head coaches. So although Brian Daboll right now has the New York Giants at 4-1, you have to then correlate it to the Giants' price to make the postseason. And as that currently stands, Joe, on the FanDuel Sportsbook, the New York Giants still would be on the outside looking in. Plus 112 is their number right now in the NFC. There is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 prices, maybe even 8. Did I do my math incorrectly there? No, there are 7 prices better than the New York Giants right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And, of course, 7 being a big number for the postseason currently, because it's 7 teams that qualify. It's a much better price for the Giants to make the postseason now than it was in the preseason, but that's where things stand. It's a great point. You need to get to the playoffs, and that's why Nick Sirianni, although it's his second year, based on relative expectation for the Eagles to be the last unbeaten team in the National Football League, looks very good for the Coach of the Year odds as it currently stands. Joe, we were talking Dolphins and Vikings, by the way. Both Mike McDaniel and Kevin O'Connell tied for the third best odds at 12-1. So, Joe, we have some byes right now in the National Football League. 4 teams on the bye this week, the Texans and the Titans included within the AFC South. We have an AFC South divisional matchup, though, as well. The Jacksonville Jaguars and the Indianapolis Colts, and it's a short spread, only 2.5 in favor of Indy. Joe, what is huge here is where the game is being played. It's in Indianapolis, because it's been well documented now. The Colts have lost 8 straight on the road in Jacksonville against the Jags. Duval County is a house of horrors for the Indianapolis Colts, but now they're back, Joe, and they're a 2.5-point favorite in Indy. Quickly here, do you think they should be favored?
Yeah, they should be, but I would still take Jacksonville, and I like the over. I think this game sails through the 41.5, juice to the over at -114. We could pick it back up on the back end.
We will pick it back up on the other side. A couple more thoughts here on Football Full Circle, and college football preview coming your way as well for a huge Week 7 slate. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on FFC, a couple of more closing thoughts about the NFL before we flip our attention to a huge Saturday. Week 7 of this college football season. I look at the slate, Joe. I see the 6 ranked games that we have. I see the 3 matchups of perfect unbeaten teams at 5-0 or better. And I truly almost cry tears of voluminous joy. But quickly here in the NFL, a couple of closing thoughts in the AFC South. We were just referencing the Colts, a 2.5-point home favorite, Joe, against Jacksonville. The only 2 teams out of the AFC South in action this weekend, with both Houston and Tennessee on a bye. It's a big game then, Joe, for the division. Because as we look at the AFC South right now, 3 of the 4 teams at 500 or worse, including both the Colts and the Jaguars. But it's the Colts, Joe, who are the favored team once again at plus 155 in those divisional prices. Tennessee, the second best number at plus 170. And the Jags, who entered last week as the favorite team, are now with the third best number at plus 240. So, Joe, how do you assess the AFC South entering week 6?
I still lean to Tennessee. I like Tennessee because their ability to run the football with Derrick Henry. I like their road win over Washington now. I know they were on life support on the 1-yard line there with Washington knocking on the door, but they found a way to get the critical turnover and still pull out that ballgame. They've won 3 in a row right now, and I think that's very beneficial heading into the bye week. I still like this team. Let's not forget, number 1 team in terms of the AFC ranking last year, right? I think we forget about about that. It wasn't Indianapolis. It wasn't Kansas City. It was the Tennessee Titans and Ryan Tannehill. Now, granted, they didn't step up, but you're telling me you're going to give me plus money over a team in Indianapolis that limped to the regular season finale and couldn't beat Jacksonville and has a new quarterback and still not hitting on all cylinders? Jonathan Taylor hasn't looked as elite as he was a year ago. So I'm going to take Tennessee to steal it this season.
So from Tennessee in the National Football League to Tennessee in college football, the people off this week in Nashville, there is going to be a ton of attention, not just in the state, but across the entire country on Knoxville on Saturday. It's number 6 Tennessee, Joe, hosting number 3 Alabama in some slight line movement in that game early this week. It was 7.5 at the open in favor of the Tide. Take off the hook. It's now at a flat 7 in favor of Alabama on the road on Rocky Top, my home sweet home. Joe Lisi, let's break down this football game. If Tennessee is to keep this game within margin against Bama, how do the Volunteers get it done?
Start fast. That's all I'm going to say. They need to start fast, Ben, in a big way. Hendon yep. Hooker, Jabari Small, that offense needs to kick it into gear because I got to be honest with you. I really like Alabama, whether Jalen Milroe starts or obviously Bryce Young, obviously that changes things. But at the end of the day, I'm rolling with the team that has won 15 straight in the series. And I know it was close entering the fourth quarter last year in Tuscaloosa, but Alabama still won that matchup 52-24. And at the end of the day, you have an Alabama offense averaging 6.9 yards per rush. That is their highest total since prior to 2009 when Nick Saban stepped foot in Tuscaloosa. So you tell me how dominant that running game is for the Alabama Crimson Tide. And oh, by the way, they're only giving up around 80 rushing yards per game. So that's a tall order for the Tennessee offense. I know their defense has stepped up. Different animal in Alabama. I'll take the road team in this ballgame.
So, Joe, that's the question for me, right? Where does Alabama look to take advantage of Tennessee? What are the key matchups we are going to see in this game on Saturday on Rocky Top? Because offensively for Tennessee, there's not much better in the country. In fact, there is nobody better than Tennessee in putting up total yardage. They average nearly 550 per game. They are the best total offense in the country, the second best scoring offense in the country, averaging nearly 47 points per game, only trailing Ohio State. But Bama's defense has been sensational this year. The Tide, the sixth best total defense in the country, only giving up, Joe, as it stands right now, 250.8 yards per game to their opponent. And as you mentioned, really good on the ground, only allowing 84.5 yards per game, and pretty good through the air as well. And that is the strength of Tennessee. So it's the strength of Tennessee's offense against the strength of this Bama's defense. But the matchup edge, Joe, should be Alabama offensively against Tennessee. Now, Tennessee is not great through the air, Joe. We talked about it last week. The fourth worst passing defense in all of college football, giving up 309 yards per game. They are still the fourth worst passing defense in all of college football, giving up 307 yards per game. They are the second worst in the SEC. Only Vandy is worse than Tennessee right now. But on the ground, Joe, Tennessee's not bad, allowing less than 90 yards per game, and they stifled LSU on the ground last week. Yes, Jaden Daniels ended up throwing for a lot, but that's because Tennessee jumped out ahead very early on in the Bayou Bengals, playing for that negative game script the rest of the way. Joe, the way to beat Tennessee's defense, in my estimation, is the passing game, which will make it very interesting to see if Bryce Young plays. I believe he will be out there on Saturday. And Joe, if he is out there, I expect him to have a huge day bouncing back and getting his name back into Heisman conversations.
Yeah, I mean, you would expect if Bryce Young does play, look for it to get up to 8 then. I mean, the fact that it's ticking down, I know a lot of people are high on Tennessee. You bring up great points in terms of obviously open up the playbook when Bryce Young is there, right? There's nothing that Alabama can't do. And I think like that. Both teams look to run the football, right? They just do it in different ways. Alabama wants to wear you down because of the physicality. Tennessee does it with tempo. Now, you know, how does Hendon Hooker attack this defense, not just with his arm, but with his legs? We really haven't seen him take a game over. Could that be the added dimension in terms of this X factor for Tennessee's offense, right? I mean, you got to pull out all the stops. This is the biggest game in Knoxville maybe over the last, 20 years per se? I mean, it's been that long. So this is it. You have a 15-game losing streak. You have to break tendency. You win this game. Not only is Hendon Hooker potentially a Heisman frontrunner, but your team now can challenge Georgia for an SEC East title, right? Think about if they knock off Georgia and Alabama in the same year, they could be top five in the nation. So a lot of things in front of them. We'll see how it plays out. At the end of the day, it's going to come down to, I still think the offense and defense aligns, and that's where I think Alabama still has a significant advantage, and that's why I'm willing to back Alabama. Again, whether Bryce Young plays or not, I'd still buy in laying a touchdown on the road.
And that Bama front seven, led by Will Anderson, will have a huge responsibility come Saturday afternoon in Knoxville to pressure Hendon Hooker. Right now, Joe, Hendon Hooker, better odds to win the Heisman Trophy than Bryce Young. Hendon Hooker has the third best price in the country at 14-1. The reigning Heisman winner in Bryce Young now tied for the fourth best price at 16-1, getting knocked out of the game early against Arkansas and, of course, missing last week against A&M. It is C.J. Stroud, the Buckeyes quarterback from Ohio State, into minus money. The first player we have seen as an odds-on favorite this year at minus 140. And speaking of that Bama ground attack last week, Joe, they ran for 288 yards. 288 against Texas A&M, who is struggling to defend the run so far this year. And yes, Jaden Daniels, threw the ball for 300 yards against LSU, Joe, for LSU against Tennessee. But again, they were playing from a negative game script pretty much the entirety of that game. It is going to be a fascinating, fascinating game in Knoxville on Saturday, and what it could mean for the SEC and the rest of college football at the moment. Georgia still the favorite to win the conference title. Alabama the second best price at plus 125. Georgia even money plus 100. But Tennessee now into triple digits as well. The Volunteers 9-1. So that is one of the six ranked matchups, Joe, that we have this weekend. Number six, Tennessee hosting number three, Alabama. It will be number five, Michigan hosting number 10, Penn State, in a huge game in the Big House on Saturday as well. Oh, that spread, Joe, has worked under a touchdown. It is now Michigan favored by just 6.5 points. What is your approach to this matchup between the Nittany Lions and the Wolverines?
Yeah, I'm taking the team that can run the football and has a veteran quarterback, and that's Penn State. I know that they've struggled previously. The last time there, it was the COVID year. They were 4.5-point dogs. They won the ball game by 10. They struggled, obviously, last year. They give the ball game up in the last 3 minutes with running down the sidelines. They lose 21-17 as a 3-point dog. At the end of the day, I'm buying into Sean Clifford, his experience. I'm buying into this team and James Franklin, and they do some things defensively very well. 79 yards allowed per game in terms of rush defense, 29% third down defense, top 15 in the nation. I'm going to take Penn State in the upset here.
Joe, I think you look at that total, it'll be very indicative how this game goes. It's 51.5. This feels like a Big Ten football game. Both Penn State and Michigan, top seven in the country in terms of rushing defense. In fact, four of the seven best rushing defenses in all of college football hail from the Big Ten Conference. Penn State only allowing 79.8 points rushing yards per game. Michigan, the seventh best in the country, only allowing 81.7 yards per game on the ground. It will be Nicholas Singleton, Kevon Lee, and Catron Allen on one side for Penn State. It'll be Blake Corum, Donovan Edwards on the other for Michigan. That is the strength of both teams, Joe. So do we trust Sean Clifford more than the sophomore and J.J. McCarthy? That's a very difficult proposition. Joe, here is one thing that stands out to me about this game, about this series between Penn State and Michigan. You mentioned last year, 2021, that game in-state college, Michigan winning by 4 points. It was close. 2 years ago in 2020, the game played in the Big House in Ann Arbor, where it will be this year. A weird 2020 season. We pretty much throw that away, but Penn State did win on the road. Prior to these past two seasons, though, Joe, as these two teams were East Division rivals in the Big Ten, home field advantage was so vitally important. Let me take you through a couple of the scores. 2019 in-state college, Penn State wins 28-21. The year before, 2018 in Ann Arbor, Michigan wins 42-7. The year before that, 2017 campaign, back in-state college, Penn State wins 42-13. The year before that, back in Ann Arbor, Michigan wins 49-10. So the previous 4 years, Joe, from 2016 to 2019, the home team was victorious in all three by a ridiculous margin. Most of those games around 29 or more points. So, Lisi, I think home field advantage does play a big factor in this game, and that's why Michigan is laying the 6.5.
Yeah, plus Michigan went into Beaver Stadium and got the win last year, right? So that's the thing, too, is that they match up well. And now, again, if you watch that game last year, Penn State played very well. They made a critical breakdown in terms of the last 3 minutes. You're right, they're going to have to run the football with Blake Corum. It's just that, which defense do we buy more into? Do you buy into Penn State or you buy into, obviously, Michigan? I buy into the secondary of Penn State more than I buy into the Wolverines right now that struggle with Maryland.
It's going to be something. Michigan has not covered in two of their three games within the Big Ten Conference, barely covering against Iowa in a game they needed a late touchdown to cover that 10.5-point spread. We'll look at more around college football, including on this Wednesday night, up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Just a few more minutes left right here on Football Full Circle, live on a Wednesday on the Sports Grid Radio Network. And Joe, on this Wednesday, and for five of the six next Wednesdays, and we had a Wednesday game last week in college football as well, Wednesday night football is college football. Tonight, it's Marshall and Louisiana Lafayette. Lou Loff and the thundering herd of Marshall. Right now, Joe, 10.5 points in favor of the home team in West Virginia tonight for Marshall against Lou Loff. A 10.5-point spread, the over-under at 46.5. Does Lisi have a lean for Wednesday night CFB?
Yeah, I would take Marshall, but I really like the over in this ball game, and I know both teams have trended to the under, but I'm taking the over in the Sun Belt. I think this is right, 47.5. I like what they have. I like the fact that Marshall, I think, can run it and throw it. I think they're the more consistent team playing at home. Give me Marshall, but I really like the over. I think this game gets into the high 50s tonight.
Joe, there are just four running backs in all of college football that have ran for 100 or more yards in every game this year. One of them will be in this game tonight. Kalon Laburn for Marshall. He is fantastic on the ground. His rushing yards prop yesterday was 142.5. It is now down to 132.5. A ridiculous number even at that, but 142 and a hook, even for a guy that has run for over 100 yards in every game, is just wild. He's the fourth leading rusher in all of college football, is Laburn. His rushing yards prop tonight is interesting, but Lou Loff not bad on the ground. Here's another area I would look, Joe. Three of the five games this year for Laburn, he has scored two rushing touchdowns, at least two, and he scored in every game. His anytime TD prop is a little bit too high, minus 195, but to find the end zone twice, why not sprinkle on some Wednesday night college football at plus 300? That's the way I play it. Kalon Laburn, Joe, one of the best running backs in the country for Marshall, who has the fourth best rushing defense in all of CFB as well. He is the mastermind of the college football pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Thank you for joining us here today on Football Full Circle, all across the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. Up next, it's the Moneyline.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.